Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you're listening to the Grove Podcast. Today we have a really special episode that we really think you're going to love. If I were to ask you who in your life are your constant lifelong friends, the ones that you can just call and pick up where you left off, even if months or maybe years have passed since you hung out, you could probably answer in no time. Well, today we get to sit in on a conversation among such friends as Shelley Giglio sits down with some of her dearest to talk about the faithfulness of God to provide exactly what we need in the exact moment we need it. And they share candidly about how tragedy can bond us and lead us into some of the most beautiful spaces that we ever could imagine. It's a beautiful example of the community that God writes into our stories. So here is Shelley Giglio with Suzanne Fatigatti, Daniele Flickinger, and Courtney Duke.
So today on the Grove Podcast, I have some of my really great friends. We did a Grove Podcast, you may remember a while back, with a bunch of girls who have become friends. And it was one of our most downloaded and listened to podcasts of all time, which I love. I think there is such a curiosity about friendship and about the threads that God builds between people so that he can weave a beautiful tapestry in our lives. And these are some of my friends who he has done that with over many, many years. So please meet Suzanne Fatigatti.
Hi.
And Daniele Flickinger.
Hello.
And Courtney Prayduke.
Hey.
So I love it today that we're together, and we've already laughed for about 15 straight minutes before this started. So hopefully we can hold it together
before
laughing
we cry.
And crying. Right. Yeah. But I would love to just talk today about some of those threads of friendship and the way God's woven our lives together. And it's some remarkable things. Honestly, we don't spend enough time looking back at some of the ways God's built our lives, but he has done some phenomenal things over the years in our lives. Suzanne, we met long time ago.
So many years.
And God has been so good and faithful to us in our friendship. And so talk a little bit about your story coming into us meeting, and then you tell your version of us meeting, and then I'm going to tell mine, because mine is way better.
My true one and your...
Yeah, right, whatever.
I think I'll start with probably the most dramatic thing that happened in my life. And as much as I love to talk about it, I still get kind of choked up. Yeah. But I never was a real big dater, but then God brought me just the most amazing guy to share with me. And he was funny. He was very talented. Everybody wanted to be around him, and I just adored him. He was a brilliant chef, and we met working at the Ritz-Carlton. And after we got married, we moved to New York to work at the Culinary Institute of America. And he had graduated from there and had a long-time goal of becoming a certified master chef. Mm-hmm. And master chef is a term that's thrown around pretty loosely, but there is a pretty rigorous certification. So he prepared for that test for 3 years. 14 started it that year. Only 3 passed. It's a 10-day test. And he passed with the highest grade and probably one of the youngest to ever pass it. And I think success can be even more stressful than failure. Mm-hmm. And after that, he really started battling anxiety, just debilitating anxiety. And I was so glad that he shared with me along the way all the things that he was feeling and thinking. And I think just when things were looking up and turning around, he committed suicide. And it was devastating in every way. I didn't turn away from God, but I was really disappointed. And Vince was a believer, which is such a relief, but it was just very difficult. That was 28 years ago. And so after that, rebuilding my life, I didn't even know where to start. Mm. And had a great job after that, and then fell into, just didn't fall into it. God brought it to me, I think, a great ministry job. Mm. And so years into that is when we cross. Actually, it wasn't that long. It was not long after I started that we met, and I'll tell my version.
Because we know it's not accurate.
Louie, yes. And Shelley were involved with 722, which was this great Bible study once a week. And since I was working at that church where it was held, very often Louis would pass off some people that needed a local church, that needed some additional follow-up. So we got to know each other through that. And I recognized their life, the amount of prayer that they needed. Mm. So I prayed for them, and I sent notes along the way to just encourage them and know someone was praying. Shelley will tell it, and she would say that I stalked her, which is so rude because it was the other way around.
What's your version? You. I'm still stalking you. But
what's your version?
Hey, just thanks for sharing about Vince's life. And I just want to say today that I celebrate what Vince was to you. And he is such a significant part of the story still to this day. And even in our friendship, we talk about Vince often. We celebrate his life and his love for you often, and I love today that we can remember with such fond memories what he was, what he has meant to you.
Thanks.
And as a result, what he's meant to all of us. Mm-hmm. And I will say, in meeting you, it was an unusual meeting in that you were so faithful. I have in my possession lots and lots of notes that you've written and mailed to me over time, prayers, encouragement, just the ability to stay connected when things got hard in my life. It's been a treasure to me. So I have all of those. And I looked for the note so hard that I wanted to bring today to prove that I'm right about our meeting, but I couldn't find it. So here's how the way I remember it. One of those notes along the way, it might've been one of the first ones you ever sent to me, was basically you just saying, hey, I recognize that your life is challenging. I recognize that I have the ability to pray for you guys and to encourage you guys through this season of your life. And my mom lives nearby. She doesn't live very far from here. She lives on a lake. Anytime you guys want to be a part of that, please come and join me. And if you want to go to lunch, that would be great.
So P.F. Chang's
and
later.
I think at P.F. Chang's, we probably went to lunch and
never looked back. And I was even thinking, just as you were talking about Vince, about the role of food in your life with Vince in those early days and how that role of food has lasted all these years later, as we enjoy some of the best food, the best meals. All of my friends have the same food love that are in this circle, and that might be the thing that binds us together more than anything else in life. But I love that you, Suzanne, have stayed true. I've never met a person who has changed less over seasons than you have. You're faithful and true. You were faithful and true the day I met you, and you're exactly the same today.
Well, you've
and
been
while
the same.
While you've grown and become a lot of different things, so I'm not saying you haven't grown, but you've also remained. And so much of Scripture speaks to, if we abide and remain, that God produces fruit through that. And I think your faithfulness is what has created a lot of the fruit in your life.
Well, I have been the recipient of that from you, for sure. It's a reflection of your constancy and your consistency of as busy as you are, the level that you stay in touch and respond and initiate is
that's awesome.
A gift.
Well, you know, I get asked a lot. I was talking about doing a little Insta story Q&A a couple of days ago, and one of the most asked questions is about friendship. How do I find trusted people in my life that I can, because I speak a lot about concentric circles of friends and just saying that all your friends don't fit in your inner circle, that that's for a select few. And then God builds out from there. Mm-hmm. And I believe that to be true about friendship, but it just feels like so many questions about how you find people like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways I met Daniele was through Suzanne, which I love. That's how I know her.
I was trying to pass her off to you.
Yeah, you were. You were saying like, surely you can do something with her. And I've tried. I've really tried. It's just beautiful to think about it and how those circles do react in our lives. And I know you find trusted friends by being a trusted friend.
Yes.
So what part of the ways that we're all friends with each other is because I think God has allowed and taught us how to be good and faithful friends to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's been true for Suzanne and Daniele for sure. So Daniele, talk about meeting Suzanne, when that was, and how then you ended up in Atlanta with us.
Well, I feel like I'm the biggest blessed person sitting here today.
Nope. So I'm top. You'll be second or third or fourth.
Yes. Yeah, so I am originally from São Paulo, Brazil, and moved to Atlanta to originally stay for 1 year to go to school and work on my English. I used to work for an American magazine in São Paulo and really needed that. So I came, went to a university and worked on my English for a year. And then right after that, I got into a master's program. And instead of going back to Brazil, I decided to stay and have that degree and go home and get even a better job.
This is how brilliant my friend Danielle is. Yes. She came to America without knowing any English and learned it basically by going to a master's program. So I don't know about you, well, but I could not I have learned English myself. In a master's program.
It was a lot of effort because I thought it was just for a small season of time. But God had a different plan, and I finished that program. I worked for an organization here, a company here. And right after, in the middle of that, I started, you know, going to church. Actually, the first thing I did, I had just met Jesus when I moved here about 3 years. And then the first thing I found here, looked for, was a church. And that was the church Suzanne was working at. I remember going to that church and just sitting there, not understanding anything, but I knew God had a plan for me.
So beautiful.
And so stayed and continued to go to that church and met Suzanne very briefly. We had a singles group that we were a part of, a bunch of friends, and met her briefly. I was working for that organization and I had a big problem with a visa. I couldn't stay and I had to go back home. So yeah. The year of 2004, I went back home thinking I would never come back, and I was fine with that after making that decision and going back to São Paulo. And at that point, I was involved with a work that our church was doing in the south of Brazil. They were partnering with a church down there, and one of the things I loved the most about Atlanta was my church. I remember how hard it was to leave because I was so involved and I had such great friends. Mm. But I went home, and soon after that, there was a mission trip from our church in Atlanta going down, and Suzanne was a part of it. I joined them, and we kind of bonded on that trip. We became great friends, and my heart was just pulled to that city and just doing that church I loved so much in Atlanta, recreating it in my country was like a dream for me. So I moved to that town. And started serving in the leadership team. And long story short, I had to leave after 10 months living there because of a major issue with the pastor. And as a single woman at the time, couldn't stay there, had to leave, went back to São Paulo, and decided to take a break for a month before I started looking for jobs again. My parents were like, what are you doing with your life? You move all the time. You have to settle down. I said, okay, it's the last time I go to Atlanta. Just a month and I'll come back. And in that month, I was welcomed by Suzanne at her house. I stayed with her. She borrowed her father's truck to give me her car.
That's the best.
And I came literally with a winter. It was February of 2005. And I came like with a winter bag, like only winter clothes. And so she was incredible. And living with her was one of the highlights. And she's always been this amazing encourager to me. She always complimented me of how smart I am and this and that. And always literally encouraged me so much. And in the middle of that time, I guess 3 weeks into my visit here, she said, come to lunch with me. I have a friend that I want to introduce you to. And we went to Mellow Mushroom in Alpharetta, Georgia. And I get there and there's beautiful Shelly. I already knew Shelly from afar. I remember seeing you and Lou at Jake's Ice Cream in Midtown.
That's a good place to see me.
One time. And then had the best time. I was very broken and very disappointed. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I remember telling Shelly my story. And I could see your compassionate eyes.
And I remember that day with so much love because it all started there. Mm-hmm. And it was just so awesome to meet you. And I had no idea what I was going to do. I had a ticket to go back in a week. And a week later, you called me, Shelley, and said, "Hey, Danielle, I think you need to work for us because we have this project that I think it would be great for you to be a part of. Would you be able to delay your ticket?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I want you to know that I had a big problem before. You're going to have to hire an attorney. I need a visa. Like, it's not going to work." And you're like, "No, we're going to do all of that. And we're just going to try. If we don't get it, that's fine." And I just said, "Okay." And I was so happy about that.
Us too.
And
me too.
So basically, that season was very long. And we found an attorney. Suzanne emailed the entire staff of the church to look for somebody to help us. And I remember the funny emails she got back to this day. And we found everything we needed. It was like God had the perfect plan. But that season lasted 6 months. It's a complicated process of getting a work visa for someone. And anyway, so it came through. I remember I came in February, and in June, my visa came through. So I was living with Suzanne, cleaning her house for free.
She needed the
living
help.
For free.
I do know that.
I mean, I know. I was living
so
there
ashamed.
For free. She never charged me a dime.
She would like you to move back.
She almost got evicted because of me. Because of a neighbor. And I just, you know, at that time, God was God. I think it was one of the times I've felt God be the most real in my life.
Yeah.
And I know that friendships are important and what you're saying in the beginning, Shelley, but I think when we're able to be completely real, when people are able to see us in the lowest and in the hardest times of our lives, is when we really create a bond. I mean... You know, today I'm married for 11, almost 12 years. I have two kids. I don't talk to Suzanne every day. But the moment I see her, I just know that it's right there.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was a beautiful story. And I will also never forget, like, I stayed here. I couldn't be paid. I was working, you know, started volunteering while my visa was coming. And I mean, I had a winter bag. Like, I remember people, like, giving me clothes. I had used all my money that I brought. And all these friends came around me. And there was one day that I was like, I asked at the time, my boss said, "I don't know, but is there any way that I can start being paid? Because, like, my money is ending." And we used to work in this house right beside a bank. And, like, in the matter of maybe not even 30 minutes, Shelley came up and dropped an envelope in my desk. I don't know if you remember that. But it was like an envelope of cash. And I was like, I felt so taken care of. And while there were so many challenges, my brother in Brazil was going through a terrible cancer treatment. And I wasn't sure what to do if I had to go back. And my mom at the time said, "No, you need to stay. This is where God has you." And I know that in my heart. And I have a wonderful mom that I love so much. But you guys have been the hands and the feet and the presence of Jesus in my life. And no matter what happened, it's always going to be that way for me.
So beautiful. Yeah. Again, beautiful. The threads of God's faithfulness throughout our highs and lows in life are just really remarkable, and none of us will ever forget it either, Danielle, just the way God provided for you. But it also makes me think that how God was seeing the whole story,
right?
Even as we sat at that table at Mellow Mushroom.
Oh, yeah.
And we were trying to just figure out the next step. All we were trying to do was just show up and say, "God, what do you have for us?"
Right.
And I remember praying as I left that lunch thinking, "God, I think you're saying call her back. But, like, what exactly are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And I didn't know,
But, you know, I look at today and I think God did. And I just, even as the way you're speaking about how we've helped mentor you in life, I love the way that that moment forged something in us, but it also was already evident that you were going to be a mentor of so many women in your own life. And across the table from you, while I didn't know what job I could offer you, I knew that God had appointed you and anointed you for special things in life.
How special.
And it was
that?
Such a joy just to get to come alongside your life and say, you know what? I don't know what it is. I don't have the wisdom to understand exactly how God's going to use you, but I knew that He was going to use you. And to think today at Passion City Church that you're over the entire Flourish program, which is all about mentoring people and women in particular in our house so that we can grow up and be the strong woman of God that God intended us to be. God knew that that moment at Mellow Mushroom, which blows my mind. I can't even hardly take it all in the way that He's writing a beautiful story. So
love it.
I just encourage all of us to show up for the moment of life that we're in and to not worry about how it's all going to play out, but be very present in the current moment and be prayerful. You know, we laugh and say, if you show up every day with a heart that says, God, you have appointments for me today. And I don't know what they are, but I'm here for them. I'm looking for them. I'm aware. Then He directs. And in that day, He directed us to lunch at Mellow Mushroom and think about the ripples of that moment and all these years later. I love it so much. So Courtney, you come into the story because God has been faithful to you through also being a widow. And I met you on the floor of the Georgia Dome.
That's right.
A lot of years ago when you were at probably your lowest state in life.
For sure.
You had been invited by Carrie Stanfill, one of our favorite people, to the Georgia Dome for Passion. And at the end of Passion, we all kind of ended up on the floor together in what really was a giant dance party, honestly, just dancing on the ashes of life with hope that God was building something better than what we were currently standing in. And we ended up dancing pretty hard right next to each other.
we
didn't really know each other super well. Carrie, you were with Carrie and she had invited you. And so that was a moment that we all had together. But that's a moment that we think back on a lot. And soon after that moment, you were a part of a widows group that Suzanne, with her life, has ended up writing a curriculum just for widows and how to reestablish their life after the brokenness that they've felt so devastated by. And that heart of hers to serve people, not just to be a widow, but to serve widows was compelling from the moment you became a widow, Courtney, because soon after you found yourself at Brookwood Grill, which we've eaten at for 25 years, in Atlanta at a table with Suzanne and some other widows and widowers who needed to know that God could be faithful to them even in that moment.
Yeah.
So talk about just your most low state, and obviously you're not still there. None of us are. God's done a lot in our life, but he started with you in a pretty broken place.
And first of all, I'm just so challenged and inspired by every one of you. Each one of you has just called me higher in life, and your lives are stunning and beautiful. So yeah, Shelley and I met at my most fragile state. It was probably 6 weeks out from losing my precious Andrew. We were married almost 11 years, had three children, and I was just at the bottom. I was at the bottom, and I was really believing that even though I didn't feel like dancing, I knew that and I was believing that God would allow that to come to being in my life again. And so what a wonderful moment to be able to like look in Shelley's eyes. I had never seen her, heard about her, anything, but it's like all of everything just stood still for a moment as we locked eyes. It was like, okay, God, what are you doing? This person is so special. And so that was a glorious experience, that in and of itself. And so when I met Suzanne, we had a mutual friend who was a widower. They were already meeting up, and this was probably about 3 months after Andrew went to heaven. He was like, hey, why don't you come meet us at Brookwood Grill? And so I was like, all right, sounds great. I didn't really know any widows at this time. It was about 3 months in, and about the 3 month mark was when I was at my very lowest. I mean, I had hit rock bottom, and I was being a single mom to my three kids.
So tough.
And, but it was so encouraging meeting Suzanne that day and, a couple of other widows and widower that were, you know, we're all just kind of on the same journey of, losing different people in our lives, but we were all just completely, on this journey that we did not choose, but God chose for us, you know? And for me, widowhood was not a condition to be endured, but it was a calling on my life. And I didn't know what all that meant at the time. I was just trying to get from moment to moment.
Right.
But having these amazing people that were also walking this road gave me so much encouragement and really gave me life. I remember driving home that day back to Dallas, Georgia, where I was at the time, just going, God, thank you. Right. Thank you that I'm not alone. Like, there are other people in the world right now that are hurting as bad as I'm hurting. There's other people that have lost, you know, their entire life has just crumbled into pieces. And I remember that day, very, very vividly. And it gave me so much hope moving forward. And so it's just so beautiful to see how God so often of the time, like, he uses delays in our life to lead us into our divine destiny.
Amen.
And it's never been more apparent than when you've lost everything.
Yeah.
And you let God rebuild your life. It's the most stunning, remarkable journey. It's not fun and it's not pretty. It's ugly and it's messy, but it is where God shows up in power.
Absolutely.
And it's in those places and those people that he puts in your life that it's just like, God, you are so good and so faithful to bring the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been so inspired by every one of you.
Well, it's beautiful to watch God write it, and to think that I think one of my favorite things about you, and it's true of every one of you, but you just didn't allow something to be a marker in your life and that be sort of something you look back on and say, that happened, but I've moved on from that. You actually took that moment captive, and you decided, like you said, that I wasn't just here to endure it. I was also here to carry it.
Right.
And that there's a treasure in the hardest places of our life. If we carry them, that we get to bless and encourage others who also find themselves in these places.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch Suzanne do that with her life, I can't even think of the number of widows that I've watched Suzanne minister to in the years and years and years I've known her.
Well, Courtney, the same.
And
I'm
then
sure.
Courtney picking up that as, I don't know why this is my story, but I also know that my story isn't just for me.
That's right.
And watching you minister to widows, to go on retreats with people who are in that lowest state, some of them just 3 months after they've lost somebody significant to them, and to watch you love on them and care for them and speak truth over them, to watch you bring your life beside them and say, hey, I know it's going to get worse before anything gets better, and I'll stand here with you while you wonder about every single part of your life and why you try to raise your children or whatever it is that your challenge is. And I love that we have the opportunity to experience good things and hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same, I think, amount of gratitude that we carry for both.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk a lot, Courtney and I do, and Suzanne and I have over the years, and probably Danielle and I too, but just about how closely associated joy and brokenness are. And they are not very distant from one another.
No.
And some of the most difficult things in my life have created the most joy inside of me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. If I had to write it all down and explain it to you, I would have a hard time.
Yeah, truly.
But I have experienced it and know it to be true. And I think you guys have as well.
Yeah.
So bless you. I think it would be awesome if, just as we're closing today, if we could just pray over women that are, A, longing for this kind of community.
Yes.
That they are believing God that he can actually create a trusted friend group around them that can help them endure the hardest parts of their life as well. Yeah.
And then also just pray that we would take up the mantle of some of the hard things in our life as an opportunity for ministry. Mm-hmm. And that we would not disassociate everything hard from what God might want to be doing right this minute, mm-hmm. but that we would embrace it as yeah. being part of the scars of our life yes. that create some of the beauty that he is using our lives for mm-hmm. on this yes. earth. So,
and I think recognizing his past faithfulness gives us such hope for a future.
That's it.
And it's when you're in the middle of it, it's really hard, mm-hmm. but to know what he can bring out of such despair mm. and such hopelessness could be great friends, could be a deeper faith in him, could yeah. be a model for someone else going through something that you would never know.
Yeah.
But it, I think anything hard that we've gone through, God has equipped us to be unique in that moment that somebody needs that we wouldn't have otherwise known. Like I'm sure with you, mm-hmm. widows, you meet widows
yeah.
all the time, and that's not a compassion that you might have had before, that
totally.
But is a new empathy, and that's the yeah. same for anything hard that we've been
yeah,
through.
Yeah, we wouldn't really actually even know each other if it weren't for some of those very hard things.
Sure.
So, Susie, why don't you pray over people as they're just finishing listening, that they too would see these glimmers of hope in their own life.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge what a great God you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't even fathom your love for us. We just depend on you. Our hope is in you. Our peace is mm-hmm. in you. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Comforter who lives through us and yes. for us, within us, and is the outpouring of who your Holy Spirit is working in our own lives.
Yes, yes,
it's the overflow of who we are and who you are through us. Father, I pray for these women who I just adore. I mm-hmm. love them. And I just can't believe that you shared them with me and what a gift they are to me. Thank you for their lives, for their families, for their faithfulness that just challenges me and makes me laugh and makes me cry. I just adore them, Father. And I pray for women listening. Father, for the anxieties that they feel, for the hopelessness, for places in their identity that they should not be placing their hope in. I pray, Father, that they would open their hands to you and that they would have a dependence and a love and assurance of how much you love them, Father,
yes. mm-hmm.
how much you adore mm-hmm. them, and how much you call them your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for their friendships. I pray first that they would be the friend mm-hmm. that they want,
yeah.
and that attracts people that they would want to be friends with. And I know that that's hard, but even in their hopelessness or their despair, Father, that you would surround them with people who love them and that they would feel that tangible love from you and give credit to you that you're the one who's bringing those people around them. I pray for their joy
yes.
and their contentment
yep.
and for their identity to yep. be placed in your Son, Jesus,
yes.
Father,
yes.
and that he is the overflow of our hope and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful day. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
For and us. Thank you for being great friends. And what a good moment it is to share that friendship together. So love you, girls.
Love you,
and
back.
We love you, Grove yeah. girls.
I mean, how kind of God to show his faithfulness in such tangible ways through the story of these friendships. We hope and pray you feel seen and loved by the Father today. And I just want to encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call or text someone who has been this type of friend to you. And just let them know how much gratitude you hold in your heart for them. And our very deep thanks to Shelley, Suzanne, Daniele, and Courtney for sharing your stories with us. And as Shelley mentioned, back in season one of the podcast, we recorded an episode on friendship that highlights Courtney's story and how God used women he placed in her path to help bring healing and new life. So be sure to check out that episode called Stronger Together from season one. It's one of our favorites. And please stay tuned in with us on Instagram at PCC_The Grove and thegroveonline.com
to see what's happening and catch all of our upcoming gatherings. And we will catch you next time on the Grove Podcast.